3 weeks into this new year, but if you go with me, just go back 23 days, 2021 ended, and we automatically crossed the threshold into 2022. So if you can think back with this a little bit into last year, I just got one question for you to get started. Do you have any regrets from 2021? Please don't shout them out. It's okay. Did you say anything you wish you had not said? Or did you do anything you wish you had not done? If you could go back and relive 2021, would you do anything different? Just relax. I'm going to answer the question. I don't expect you to. Just it's okay. But just think a little bit about the last year that we just came through. So I'm going to answer my own question. My answer is yes. If I could do some things differently, if I was able, I would. So let's just step again up until today. How can we make 2022 a better year than 2021? And if I would open up that, I imagine there would be a lot of answers. But I narrowed it down just to one. And that's the title of the message this morning. And it is simply, stay focused. Stay focused. When we stay focused on what really matters, it will keep us from becoming sidetracked with vain pursuits. Now I ask you a question. I'm looking for an answer. Nate got up this morning, led some songs, and the very last chorus that he led was what? It's okay. I wrote it down, so I remembered it. He said, we're going to sing the chorus number 276, and what was it? Right here, thank you. And I'm thinking about the title, message title, Staying Focused, and you don't know what you have in my notes yet, you will shortly, but I thought, well, that just really ties it together. Listen carefully. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. I know I'm not reading scripture, I'm reading a song, but it ties in well. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I could sit down, but I don't plan to. But think about it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look how? Is he looking for partial commitment? We know the answer. Look full into his wonderful face. And what's going to happen? It's kind of me. I said we automatically stepped into 2022. When we do that, we automatically, the things of life will automatically grow dim in the light of his glory and grace. I remember a time in 2021 when I said something that I wish I had not said. And it was due to my lack of focus. I thought I was wronged. And after being wronged in my idea for a number of times, I thought the other party needed to feel my pain. However, if I would have been properly focused, I would have asked the question, which we need to do sometimes, just step back and say, what would Jesus do in this situation? And had I done that, I would have said absolutely nothing. But I was sidetracked and not focused on what really matters. And what happens in life when we get sidetracked, we tend to miss some great opportunities in life. So we need to be careful that we stay focused. There is a tale of a gifted bloodhound in England that started out a hunt by chasing a full-grown male deer. So to the hunters here this morning, this is a tale. I know we don't chase deer with dogs, but this is what I'm reading here. So during the chase, a fox crossed his path. So he went and he decided he's going to chase the fox. After a while, a rabbit crossed his path, so he decided he's going to go chase the rabbit. And he chased the rabbit for a while, and soon a tiny little field mouse crossed his path. So he gave up the rabbit chase and started chasing the field mouse, and chased his field mouse into the farmer's barn, and got up in the corner and stood there in the corner and barked at this field mouse. He started out with doing something for his owner, which was chasing this prized animal, and ended up in the corner of a barn barking at a mouse. What happened? He became completely sidetracked from his original mission. He made a few turns and ended up completely distracted. Turn with me, if you will. Hang on to them thoughts. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians 3. Paul is a a very good writer and teaches us so much. And here we have some words of Paul to the Philippian church in Philippians 3. And I'm going to read verses 7 through 17. Philippians 3, 7. I know I'm kind of jumping in here, but listen as Paul writes, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." Just as I'm reading, just think of Paul's focus and where what his main goal in life was. Verse 9, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which so walk, as ye have us for an example." The Apostle Paul knew his one number one priority in life was to live his life to the honor and glory of God, and doing that by preaching the gospel and teaching others. He was spreading the truth was his primary goal or his primary focus. And we know Paul was not in some comfortable setting when he was writing this letter to the Philippians, but he was in prison, and he received a little letter that the things that in the Philippian church are not well. And even though in prison, he didn't just give up and say, "Well, you know, there's not a whole lot I can do." His focus and his goal he was going to carry it out, and being in chains or in a prison was not going to change what he was, what his goal. His life was to be lived for the Master. And folks, that is commitment, and nothing was going to sidetrack him from his focus. So here we see this morning words of encouragement to the church at Philippi, and also to us. And he took the time and committed his time to writing this, and today we can be blessed as we read this. Every Christian who, along with Paul, has a desire within to finish well, they will cultivate three disciplines. Number one, we see the discipline of focus. Number two, we see the discipline of forgetting. And thirdly, we see the discipline of following. So focusing, forgetting, and following. And the first point is focus. And what we need to remember here is there is power in focus. There is power in focus. So we could go back to that tale, that dog that was running through chasing that animal, and he got, his focus was gone, and look where he ended up. And not that we are that way, but the same way, as humans, we need to be careful. So we look at a few illustrations. The three Hebrew boys were focused, and they were threatened with a hot furnace. And we know what they decided. They said, "Oh, God can deliver us, and if not, that's okay, but we're not going to serve, bow down to your idol, O king." Even though the death was almost at their door, they did not give in. What about Daniel? He was focused, and he wasn't concerned if someone was watching him pray after the decree was put out, "You do not pray." He was focused. So how does that apply to our lives? We need to strive for the single goal until completion. Paul said, "I didn't get there yet," and neither did we. But are we striving for that goal? The goal of living faithfully and meeting our Savior in glory. which is what we're going to get to here before long? Are we like that bloodhound, just completely sidetracked, or are we going to stay a focus? And while we're striving and focused in our Christian life, we're not going to become discouraged by obstacles along the way, nor by taunts from the crowd. And I say that to say the Christian life is often referred to as a race. So this morning, put your running shoes on and put yourself in a race with others. And what we have is people watching from the sideline. But as you're running, you have one goal in mind. Nothing else matters. All you can think about as you're running is the finish line. So you had that goal in mind, and you do everything in your power to reach that goal. So you're focused on running, and there may be a few critics on the sideline giving you words of discouragement, but you let it go in one ear and out the other, and you have a single goal in mind, and nothing is going to hinder you. So if you can picture that, now, brothers and sisters, take that one track focus about the runners, if we're in that race, and take that level of commitment, that level of dedication, and place that into your spiritual lives this morning. Are we living two lives? We could say the physical and the spiritual. But as, are we more? Where is our dedication? Where is our commitment? Which one are we focusing on? Are we as committed in our spiritual journey as we are through our hobbies? If I have a hobby and we're sitting around talking, you'll probably hear about it because we can get kind of caught up in that. But what about our spiritual lives? Are we as committed in our spiritual journey through life as we are in our hobbies? Remember, when we stay focused in what really matters in life, it will keep us from becoming sidetracked with vain pursuits. And that kind of could be our focus to the message, but I also like to say, when we turn our eyes upon Jesus and look in his face, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. So we can look at both of them there. I read verses 7 through 17, I'm going to jump back in at 12 and go through there. Just notice Paul's focus in verse 12. He's writing about attaining or achieving Christ. What is he saying? He's expressing his goal to recognize who Christ is in his life. So I get the picture, the goal he is striving for. So picture Paul in life, in a race, and he has a goal in mind, in his spiritual side. The goal he's striving for is not one that will someday just fall in his lap. It's not one that's going to, but it's one that will come by hard work and perseverance. He tells us he has not reached his final goal, not yet. Neither is he telling us that he is perfect. So, brothers and sisters, I'm not there yet, and also I'm not perfect. But then he says he is following after, he is striving for, and he has one goal in his focus. He's not going to be guilty of becoming sidetracked because he has a one-track focus, and his focus and his goal is Jesus Christ. Not as though I had already attained, I'm not there yet, I'm not perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend, for that also I'm apprehended of Christ. Christ called him his own, and Paul wants to do his best to make sure that he gives his life completely for the work and for Jesus Christ. He says, I will follow after. I will keep going with Christ. I will continue until I reach him. The runners have that in mind. They go and they go and they go. And people have that in mind with their hobbies. They go until they accomplish that. Or can we plug that into our spiritual lives? And when we do that, when we do so, then we see we have focus and we have the commitment. Why was Paul so focused on his prize? Why was Paul willing to just apply all the energy that he had to reach the Lord? Well, because Paul recognized that he is a child of God. And God said, I don't want any lukewarm people. I want you to give me your all. And also, Paul was he wanted to be sure that he was faithful until the end because he knew what lay in store. And that is that crown and meeting Jesus Christ face to face. I look at this and I realize that Paul had a clear picture of glory. Paul didn't go through life with a casual attitude, but he went through life just looking forward to that crown that was waiting to be placed on his head. And as he went through life, he was excited about meeting the Lord, and nothing was going to hinder his forward progress. As I was studying, I had to think of the climbers there at Mount Everest, and I know a number of years ago I mentioned this, so forgive me if you were here before, but try to understand the climber's focus. That book, into thin air. And just a few words out of that, it mentions the climbers stepping around dead bodies as they press forward to get to the peak of the mountain. It also said, if you're climbing up this mountain and you come across a climber that stopped and needs oxygen, the book has said you are not to stop and help that person, because if you take your oxygen and give it to that person, you might die if you run out of oxygen trying to reach the peak. And I look at that and I think, boy, the focus that they had, and I add, it's a very sad, selfish focus, but just in light of, are we that focused in our spiritual lives? Focused, determined, committed, where nothing else matters. No, please don't grab your gear and head for Nepal, but in our spiritual lives, are we focused? Folks, are we going to give it our all? Brothers and sisters, there's so much that can distract us and cause us to lose our way, but are we focused in our spiritual lives? The point number two is forgetting the past in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And we can look at that and say, what was Paul saying? Well, he was not referring to, trying to forget his past and overlook sin and push under the carpet. That's not where he was going. But he refuses to look back for fear of hindering his forward progress. So let's just take a little step back to this foot race. So you picture those running to reach the end. And they're not going to stop every once in a while and look back and, oh, look at all the ground I covered. And they're not going to stop and look back and say, oh, did so-and-so fall? Oh, did they become disqualified? No, you're not going to stop and turn around and look back, but instead you're going to keep your eyes steadily on that finish line or on the prize and strain every muscle that you have in order to reach that. If our attention is diverted for a moment or two, that would hinder us from pressing forward. That might be the cause for losing the race. So Jesus, he is our prime example. He, the great example, is a pattern for me, and that is by the truth without a doubt. But Paul also gives us some very good direction as he looked onward to the prize. He fixed his eyes steadily on gaining the crown. So yeah, Paul was going through life, and he had some things that he had to work through, but his main focus was gaining the crown. He had that prize in his view, and he was not going to become distracted by anything else. Not even, as he says in verse 13, the thoughts of the past. He didn't stop and think about the difficulties that he had overcome. He wasn't going to stop and take time to think of the troubles that he had met in the past. But he thought about what was yet to be accomplished. As we see, his journey was not quite finished. So he was not going to allow any reference of his past to interfere with his race to win the prize. So he says, forgetting the past. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 11, we read about 2 Corinthians 11. We can read there about a whole list of hardships that Paul endured. But here he says, I'm not looking back. So again, as we picture ourselves on a journey, and I repeat, there's many distractions that will hinder our progress through life. And sometimes I get it seems like if something doesn't cause us to slip, something else comes along, or we're tempted from a different angle. What is the solution? And I narrowed it down. It's maybe too simple, but stay focused and in forward motion. Stay focused and in forward motion. Because if we pause and look around, we'll quickly become sidetracked. And if we start thinking about the events of the past, we're tempted to stop and look back. Brothers and sisters, we need to stay focused and press on moving forward. We think of Lot's wife became a pillar of salt when she looked back. And that story ended on a very, very sad note. But had she been focused and maintained her forward motion, I believe her life would have ended, could have ended in a much better way. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So here again we see Jesus telling us, folks, we need to put our hand to the plow, yes, but then move forward. Looking back is sure to end in going back. Looking back is sure to end in going back. Solution, stay focused and maintain forward motion. And just think about going through life. We all need encouragement, things that cheer us up. what better way to do that than to look ahead? And when we do that, we see things that will cheer us on, encourage us to take another step. We picture again the crown that is waiting and the joys of heaven that await. In our experience of meeting with the Lord, we have so much positive thoughts and good encouragement when we move forward. And again, thinking about that day with Christ, what a day that'll be. As the songwriter wrote, "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." And that there, because when we look at that, we see focus. When we look at that, we see someone who is determined to move forward. I'm pressing on. How? Upward way. He also says he's gaining new heights. When? Occasionally? Every day. He praying. He's as he onward bounds, and he's asking the Lord to plant his feet yet on higher ground. And so that there we see it. There we see a Christian going through life just with that in mind. I'm going to make it. I'm going to gain new steps, new heights every day. And he nothing said there about distractions of the side. Allow me to add, there's nothing wrong with looking at pictures of past memories. That's all good. But our main focus needs to be on forward motion as we get closer and closer and closer to glory. Exodus 14:15, here we have the children of Israel by the Red Sea. The Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." So even when the human mind, forward motion is not an option, the Lord says, "Children, move forward." And what do we need to do? What the children of Israel do? It's obedience. We need to press on. Forgetting those things which are behind, as Paul wrote, he is simply refusing to be paralyzed or rendered complacent by the things of the past. Let's not go through just leave here this morning and say, "Well, he said that forget the past." No, if we did wrong in the past, we need to confess that, make that right. But then as we get on that track and move forward, let's not look back. Paul was not quite finished with that comment in verse 13. He says, "And reaching forth unto those things which are before." Reaching towards the prize. Reaching towards that crown of righteousness. And you look at verse 13, and you realize how Paul is properly informing us this morning that in the Christian life, victory will not come by default. Some things will happen by default. Most likely, this sun will come up in the morning, and it'll go down tomorrow night again as well. Some things happen in a routine. The Christian life, victory in the Christian life, will not come by default. We will not attain the crown by coasting through life with a careless and casual attitude. So Paul didn't just sit back and say, "Well, someday I'm going to die, I'll meet the Lord." He was pressing forward. Look at all the energy that he's putting forth in these verses. We cannot go through life like that. Remember, life is like a race, and also we sometimes refer to it as a battlefield. What's required? Determination and commitment if we want to stay focused and gain the prize. So what I see here is Paul, picture him reaching forth. You don't see him there sitting back in his easy chair, opening his hands, and then looking around waiting for victory to fall in. But he said effort is required. So let's be careful. Yes, there is time for the easy chair. Don't take me wrong here. But are we pressing forward in our spiritual life? Picture the football player just running up and tackling someone from behind, reaching forth and grabbing it and making a tackle. Are we putting effort into our spiritual lives? Are we taking that kind of effort and pursuing righteousness? Verse 14, "I press towards the mark." Again, allow me to say it again. Just notice the energy that Paul is writing about here. And we saw a lot of his energy used thus far, but he's making the point, I press would be move forward motion with determination. Again, let's not head for the chair and open our hands and wait for victory to fall. We need to do our part. And I press towards the mark. The mark is the object set up at a distance which we look for and aim towards. It's the goal at the end of the race, the finish line, which we need to be reached in order to win the prize. And here, it's referring to the end of the Christian life, the end of the Christian race, which is a finish line, the finished goal, our heavenly home. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. In Philippians, as well as in the letter there to Timothy, Paul is completely focused on obtaining the crown. And he says there in 2 Timothy, the Lord himself, just picture yourself there, if I can, let's just say a row of people walking by the judge on the judgment day, and Jesus reaching out, taking a crown, and placing it on Paul's head, placing it on our head. And Paul has that in his view. We'll place the crown on the head of his faithful children. Paul said he fought, he finished, and he was faithful. Can we, along with that, look at that, his example, and take that as well? So while pressing towards a mark in verse 14, we need to remain focused, not allow anything to hinder our forward motion. Oswald Chambers wrote regarding to purpose in life, I am not here to realize myself, but to know Jesus. So again, taking the focus off of self, and he's here for none other reason, but solely just to know Jesus Christ. Another goal in life can be to know Jesus and to make him known. So we know him, and then we make him known, which would be witnessing to others. So the theme that Paul is writing about here is to help us see that in the Christian life, it's one that's going to take effort and energy on our part. No coasting, effort and energy. And there's no sign, what he is writing here, that when you or I become a believer in Christ, that all our troubles are going to disappear. He didn't say that. Remember 2 Corinthians 11? His list of things that he endured. We will endure, but it's to make us better people and not bitter. As we go through our journey, the world, the flesh, and the enemy continue to confront us with obstacles that need to be overcome with Christ's help. And this could happen each and every day, but victory will come by pressing forward. And our responsibility through it all is to strive, to reach forth, to press on, and to persevere. Just today? No, unto the end. It leads us to the third point. Be ye followers. He has this in verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. 1 Corinthians 11, 1, he says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And 1 Philippians 1, 21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So this brings us back to that focus word. Paul there writing, for me to live, I live for Christ. And if I die, that's the gain for him. You talk about focus. You talk about someone who has nothing else was going to hinder his main goal in life was. That is to remain faithful until he meets his Lord. So thinking of followers, I realize that when we're running a race, the ultimate goal is to be very, very close to the front or in the front. But when it comes to following in our spiritual life, notice two things. Number one, don't follow the crowd. Do not follow the crowd. This is an area where our spiritual journey differs from the race that we're in our spiritual lives. We need to be careful with who we are following. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. Folks, follow after righteousness. Follow after righteousness. If you know someone who is leading by good example and following the ways of the Lord, then follow their example. But do not follow those who promote false teaching. The second thing, there is somebody following you, so be a good leader. You might look behind and say, well, if nobody following me, there is somebody following you, so be a good leader. Matthew 18:6, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for a millstone were hanged about his neck, he were drowned in the depths of the sea. To offend is to lead astray, to entice to sin. So follow a good leader. In order to become a good leader, you need to imitate those who are following the Lord. How does this happen? Immerse yourself in the Word of God. Take the Word of God and immerse yourself in that, and it'll change the way that you live. So Paul is encouraging us to be on the lookout for others who are following the good example that he set. So we're not going to take people and elevate them to a high position in life and thinking they could do no wrong. We're not going to take it to that point, but we do take note of those who are leading by positive example and follow those who are demonstrate godly living. So we are all examples in our lives. I don't think we can avoid it. This morning, if you're here, you're either a parent, an uncle, or an aunt, or a neighbor, or a teacher. There's more. But somebody is following you. Somebody is following you. Somebody is watching you. Questions. What kind of example am I leaving in the trail behind me? Are we, I'll put you all in this here question, are we encouraging our brothers and sisters to press on and to keep moving forward? Are we following after righteousness? Will those who are following you or myself attain the crown and seize the prize? Did we notice whose example Paul was following? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul was following Christ. Imitate me as I am imitating the Lord. His glory was in the cross of Jesus Christ. His orders came from his commander, with Jesus Christ. Question for us. Are we imitating the Lord? Are we seeking after righteousness? Are we following Christ? And then, do you want to stay focused in life? We need to follow Jesus Christ. Picture that people following you, watching you, possibly from a distance. If everyone would imitate you, would they receive that crown that we're talking about? When we stay focused in life on what really matters, it will keep us from becoming sidetracked from those vain pursuits in life. Back to the Philippians here. Their spiritual maturity that they had came through the obedience to God's principles, his disciplines and his commands. They were obedient to Christ. They were not going to allow anything to change their approach to the Christian life. And then Paul encouraged the believers to follow his footsteps. Paul was focused. He said, folks, follow me. And they were focused as well. Now, another question. Can we encourage others to follow our footsteps? We talked about in Sunday school class this morning about helping one another. And I believe we need to help with humility. Help with humility, because it talks about becoming proud. But can we encourage others to follow our footsteps? Or I think some of this will happen by default. Someone will look up to you and say, well, that, you know, whatever you're doing, and want to follow you. But are we leading people to the Lord, on to glory, and to an eternal home? Think about it. If we're focused, and if we are faithfully following focused leaders, we will be walking after righteousness. But we need to be on correct goal here and on correct line as we do that. And when we do that, we too will reach that prize that Paul was talking about. Just a few dangers as we press on our spiritual journey. Number one, we need to avoid be careful with those innocent byroads that are going to lead us off the straight and narrow way. What's an innocent byroad? There's probably many. Ungodly use of the internet, ungodly music, unbalanced time with hobbies, viewing ungodly material, then we could sum it up. Anything that we would not do if Jesus was standing by our side. Anything that we would not do if Jesus was standing by our side. The second thing we need to be careful with, the second danger, is false doctrine. And I believe this is a big one. Brothers and sisters, we need to stand upon the truth and cling to it. Because if we don't, we're going to become distracted very, very quickly by false theology. Ask yourself the question, who are you listening to? Then after you answer that, ask two more questions. Is it truth, and is it absolute truth? When your life is over, now I'm moving ahead just a little bit, but when it is, what will people remember about you? No, we're not here to set up some big memorial of us and that, oh wow, this was some great individual. But what will people remember about you? Will you be known as a faithful, focused leader? It's interesting, after this happens, you'll never know what people say about you, but I'm asking you the question, what will they remember? Will people say, well, one thing about that person, they were following the only way to eternal life. They were following the Lord. They were a focused individual. If it wouldn't be for them, I wouldn't be where I am today. Do you have people like that? Are we a righteous example others can follow to the Lord? And when we study the Bible, God's word, God's will for our lives, what happens? We receive insights that help protect us from counterfeit teachings that are in our world today. So what do we need to do? Immerse yourself in the word of God. This needs to be done every day, just taking time. Just dig into the word and read it. 1 Corinthians 5:18, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye, familiar verse, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It is time to close, but I need to just point out just a few more things here. I asked the question, are we focused? So in Acts, the apostles were put in prison, and in verse 20, the angel of the Lord came, opened the prison doors and said unto them, go stand and speak in the temple all the words of your life. So after prison, they were told to go teach. Then they were called again, and they said, why'd you do that? We told you not to. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, I'm just looking at focus here a little bit. Look at the final result in verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were focused, and nothing was going to change their goal. Brothers and sisters, in conclusion, let's focus our eyes on the prize. Let's forget the things of the past. Let's follow the way of righteousness in this year and in many more years to come, as many as the Lord provides. Let's live with a life with commitment and dedication. And when we do that, we'll stay focused and we'll not allow distractions to change our course like that bloodhound in England we talked about, but rather we will press forward, reaching ahead to attain the crown that is waiting for you. I'm fully convinced that up in glory, the Lord's not going to run out of crowns, and there's one there for everyone, for every child of his, and waiting to be placed on the head of those who are faithful. In this year and in more to come, we need to stay focused. And when we stay focused, we can look forward to that day when the Lord reaches out, says, here, brother, here, sister, and then places that crown, because they're there for those who are faithful. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Nate, you do not have to sing this again. Just allow me to use your song you picked out earlier. And the things of earth, I love it, will grow strangely dim. But did you notice in the verse we read as well as in this song, the responsibility comes back on me. It's saying, Leon, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Leon, look full in his wonderful face. Brothers and sisters, when we do our part, I love the results. When we do our part, when I stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, the things of earth are going to just grow dim. And his light and his glory is just going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. God bless you as you go through life. Look to him, allow the things of earth to grow dim, and keep your focus on what really matters in life. Let's pause for prayer. Father God, we just say thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can use Paul's example as well. But Lord, help us just to remember that you are our prime example. Lord, I pray we can turn our eyes to you and look full into your face and allow the things of this earth just to grow dim in the light of your glory and grace. Lord, bless every soul here this morning. And Lord, if there are some here this morning that need to turn to you, I pray you would allow that to happen. I pray, Lord, they could become committed and dedicated as Paul was, and just to reach forth and to press forth and just to look forward to that day when they receive that crown of righteousness. Bless each one here. Give us wisdom and direction as we go forth from this day. Lord, again, I pray we could stay focused and press forward. In your name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.